Welcome, everyone. This is Robin Duncan, and I am here with my husband, Terry Macy.
Hello, everyone. Good to be with you.
And this is our A Course in Miracles Global Study Group. Just a quick reminder that as we do these classes, we call them Chapter 14, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. That really means Chapter 14, Class 1, Class 2, Class 3. So those numbers are just to give a sequence to the classes that we are offering on each chapter. So those numbers do not relate to the actual sections in the course. We will be announcing each class the sections we will be covering, and they will be sequential. So tonight we are on Chapter 14, and we are on Part 2, which means class number 2 of Chapter 14. We will pick up tonight with Chapter 14, Section 3. So I know that's a little confusing, but that way we could show you all the parts and you can remind yourself, I listened to number 2, but I haven't listened to number 3. So that way you can keep them in sequence when you are listening. So tonight we are covering Chapter 14, Section number 3. And it is on the decision for guiltlessness. Let's go ahead and start with an opening prayer. Oh, we all join together, Holy Spirit, in your light and love. And together we turn inward. And if there's any place in our heart where we are holding guilt, guilt about something we said or something we did wrong, or maybe we feel we failed someone. Drop the ball. Dear God, help us today to lay down all self-judgment, all guilt. And we are learning that this guilt creates a darkness in our mind, not a real darkness, but it obscures the light because guilt is the absence of light. And we want to know that light that is within us. Tonight, as we join together, we can all be willing to lay down all guilt. And of course, we extend this innocence that is within us. We extend it out to every other person. We are willing to see them as free of all guilt. And even if our eyes do not see it, and if our ears do not hear it, and we are still judging, and we see what we see, and it does not seem innocent or filled with light, we are willing to see it differently. Holy Spirit, be our eyes and our ears so that we can hear with purity and grace. We want to see perfectly. As you see, we want to see the light and innocence in every other person, regardless of their actions or appearance or even their words. We want to see what you see, and we are willing to see it. Amen. Tonight, as we look at section number 3 under chapter 14 on the decision for guiltlessness, I was thinking about one of my most powerful lessons in A Course in Miracles. I would say that the most powerful lesson for me was to forgive myself. And I don't know if I've done it all the way, because it does come back in from time to time, but I do know that I have laid down so much of the guilt that I used to carry. I remember a time when I was choosing to feel guilty for my mistakes and failures, and in my mind, I had many things to forgive. I was punishing myself as a result. And what I learned is that when we choose to feel guilty, or when we assign guilt to another person, it comes with a big dose of punishment. They go together, and punishment is the effect of the decision to feel guilty. And I was new at studying A Course in Miracles at the time, but I did not yet understand the importance of forgiving myself, and I couldn't figure out why things weren't going well, why my income had gone down, why the opportunities seemed to pull away from me. Something good would happen, but then something bad would follow. I kept wondering, why was this happening? Was I being punished because I was choosing to learn about God? I just didn't get it. And ultimately, from studying A Course in Miracles, I learned the importance of forgiving myself. And so today, as we all join together, if we could be willing to forgive ourselves, no matter what we think we did or did not do, what we think we failed at, or how we might have disappointed someone, maybe we think we are not worthy enough in the eyes of God to have a happy life. But if we are willing, we learn from the Course also that Holy Spirit is the healer. And if we think we have done things wrong and that we have really messed things up, we have this place within us, this guide, a perfect guide in the Holy Spirit that will help us to see all of this differently. But we must invite this, and we must be willing to see. You see, instead of my own guilt, I had to be willing to see my innocence instead. Instead of seeing myself as a burden or someone that was a disappointment to someone else, I had to be willing to see myself as a blessing instead. And these are decisions that we make because the power of decision is our own. We learn in A Course in Miracles that our power of decision means so much because we are always deciding which guide are we listening to. Are we listening to the one true guide in the Holy Spirit, the teacher of peace, that knows how to lead us directly to peace? Are we listening to the teacher of pain, being the ego, that will always tell you what you are doing wrong or what someone else is doing wrong, or whatever we hear will come through that filter in our mind, and we will always be hurt and sad, and we will feel small, and we will judge. So we can pause instead. Simply leave room in our mind and let Holy Spirit enter and decide for us. So in order to lay down the guilt, first, it's a decision that you want to lay down the guilt. You're willing to question the guilt. You're willing to release yourself from your own judgments. And then second, it's not up to you to do 25 things to make that happen. It's simply up to you to step back and let Holy Spirit show you all those little areas in your mind where you are judging yourself, and then to gently let them be turned over and undone in your mind. And this process will happen. It has happened for me and for Terry. Each day we get a little clearer about our innocence and a little more confident that we are as God created us and that we have never altered our true identity. So eventually I actually gave myself permission to forgive all past mistakes and failures. I was committed to no longer punishing myself, thinking that this was the right thing to do. And instead, in A Course in Miracles, it says we can learn through joy or pain. Well, I knew all about pain. Terry knew about pain. We knew all about pain. But
oh,
we...
yeah.
Didn't know as much about joy, and we are both committed now to learning only through joy. And when things get hard, if they do, we both try to pause and make room for a higher and happier answer. We know the teacher of joy is within us. We know there is a guide within us that has an answer to every single problem. If we are willing to step back and let Holy Spirit decide for us, Holy Spirit will always decide on a happy answer. And our part is to keep our mind free of guilt, free of self-judgment, free of feeling small, inadequate, unworthy, powerless, and we can go on, but we don't want to. It's all the same. So a funny thing happened is once I stopped judging myself, at least actively, sometimes it sneaks in, but actively I chose to stop that action. A funny thing happened in that other people that had been persecutors in my life or people that had showed up in judgment in some way, well, they stopped showing up that way. It's very interesting how that works. When we forgive ourselves, all of a sudden, those people that had been hard on us in some way or distant or somehow making sure that we knew that we are not what we should be in their eyes, they stopped doing that. So let's be willing for this Christmas, this season, to forgive ourselves. And tonight as we finish, we'll be talking a little bit about what Christmas is in the Course and what he's asking us to do during this Christmas time. So Terry, why don't you go ahead and kick us off with a little humor, and we will cover that chapter 14, section 3.
All right. Well, my humor for today is entitled The Birth of Baby Jesus and the Three Wise Men's Gifts. Tricia was telling her three young boys the story of the Nativity and how the three wise men came from far away to the birth of the baby Jesus and brought him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Clearly giving it a lot of thought, Tricia's 7-year-old son Billy said, "That's really nice, Mom, that they brought all that stuff for the baby Jesus, but you would have brought the baby something he really needed." So Tricia asked Billy what he thought she would have brought as a gift, and Billy promptly said, "Diapers, duh."
Those little kids, they sure have it figured out, don't they? What would they do without diapers, right?
That's right. Duh.
We have to listen to our little children, and as even the Bible and the Course, they both say that we have to become like little children and really learn to think like them and all their simplicity and grace. So thank you, little one, for that great suggestion. We need those diapers. Well, let's go ahead and get started with section number 3 on the decision for guiltlessness. Let's start out with paragraph number 1.
The happy learner cannot feel guilty about learning. This is so essential to learning that it should never be forgotten. The guiltless learner learns easily because his thoughts are free. Yet this entails the recognition that guilt is interference, not salvation, and serves no useful function at all.
This first paragraph, it reminds me of the idea that in this world, knowledge seems to be king. If you know things, if you're really, really smart, that makes you really, really successful. And then people respect you. They look up to you. So being a happy learner is not part of the program here on Earth, right, in our world, that you're supposed to know things already. And if you don't, the idea is that maybe you don't know enough. And then there comes the judgment. But in this paragraph, he's saying a happy learner cannot feel guilty about learning. That if we could approach everything as something we are here to learn in the situation we are in, then we would not be so quick to cast guilt on ourselves or someone else. So let's be willing in this situation in our life to know that we are here to learn. And that's what makes us happy learners. We will listen to Holy Spirit because a lot of the things we've been thinking and the way we've been thinking about them is a little turned around. We see power outside of ourselves. Holy Spirit is saying, no, it's within you. We see other people as the ones having the power, and Holy Spirit is saying, no, the power of God is within you. There is no other power. So there are so many things that in our mind we taught ourselves. In the Course it says we were badly taught because we taught ourselves these things that are actually in the way of the truth. So maybe we could all just approach learning as we get information from Holy Spirit or from those who speak for Holy Spirit, if we are asking, that we could receive the information simply with peace and joy and through just an active learning. And it does not mean that we are short on knowledge or it is not some dissertation about what we do not know, but we could just be happy learners and just go on about our way, receive the information, assimilate that information, and just keep on moving ahead. I feel like this first paragraph is a great step in asking us to not judge ourselves when we think we do not get something right, that we would just be willing to let Holy Spirit step in, help us with that correction, and just get on with our happiness. Paragraph number 2.
Perhaps you are accustomed to using guiltlessness merely to offset the pain of guilt and do not look upon it as having value in itself.
When you think about guiltlessness, the only time you really might think about it is when you're feeling guilty, and then you flip open A Course in Miracles and it says, you know, you're not guilty, you are guiltless. And so sometimes we forget that we are guiltless because that's who we are. That's what God created us to be. And I feel like what it's saying in that sentence is you're forgetting your true nature, that you are innocent, you are guiltless, you are sinless. And we are only remembering it here and there during those very rough moments when we are feeling guilty. And then we go to our guiltlessness almost like the antidote to neutralize those feelings of guilt. But he's inviting us to stand on our guiltlessness as a way of being. Sentence 2.
You believe that guilt and guiltlessness are both of value, each representing an escape from what the other does not offer you. You do not want either alone, for without both, you do not see yourself as whole and therefore happy. Yet you are whole only in your guiltlessness, and only in your guiltlessness can you be happy. There is no conflict here. To wish for guilt in any way, in any form, will lose appreciation of the value of your guiltlessness and push it from your sight.
There it says in sentence number 6, you might want to put a little star there, that every time we choose guilt in any way, in any form, that's guilt for ourselves, that we did something wrong, said something wrong, or guilt towards another person, that they are not pleasing us, they are not doing what we want, and then we're feeling some judgment towards them. Every time we choose guilt, you are pushing away your awareness of your own guiltlessness. So there is a consequence to that action, that when we judge other people, it's not just that we are in that moment of judgment and it goes on. Every time we choose guilt, we are abandoning our guiltlessness. It's almost like you're holding a ball, and every time you choose guilt, you are taking that ball and you're throwing it down, and the ball represents your guiltlessness. He's asking us again and again through A Course in Miracles to be willing to see only guiltlessness in others, not in what they are saying, not in what they are doing, because what they are saying and doing is only a mirror of our past thoughts and beliefs. So what we see and what we hear are the false images that we have made right in the place of the truth. So instead, we can go ahead and pause in that moment and just go to Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I'm having a tough time here, but I am determined to see the guiltlessness of my sister, brother, friend, mother, my dog, right? I'm willing to see their guiltlessness. And you tell me that I am not seeing truly, and I do want to see. I want to see what you see. We're not trying to make something bad morph into something good. Or if somebody over there does something very wrong, we're not trying to say, well, I'm choosing to see that as okay. What we are saying instead is, I see what this person did wrong, but I am determined to understand that what they're doing is only reflecting my decision about what I believe is true. So I'm not even looking at the truth. I'm looking at the consequence of my own misperceptions. This can all be cleared away and cleared up by Holy Spirit, but we have to choose to see guiltlessness in others instead of our judgments against them. Let's go now to paragraph number 3.
There is no compromise that you can make with guilt and escape the pain that only guiltlessness allays. Learning is living here, as creating is being in heaven.
So there we are again. There is no compromise that we can make with guilt. Every time you choose guilt in you or someone else, you will experience the pain that comes with guilt. It's not that you're causing pain, and pain is not even real, but pain and guilt as illusions go together like peanut butter and jelly. As you choose one, you tend to get the other. So when you choose guilt, you're going to call punishment on yourself. When you choose to see guilt in another, you are still calling judgment on yourself. And you may not see it that way, but let's say you're judging your next door neighbor, you don't really like what they're doing, you don't like the way that they're doing it, and you don't realize that the judgment that you're casting upon them, all of a sudden your next day at work, you turn in a project, let's say, and it's something you worked very hard on, and maybe your own supervisor looks down at the project and they tell you 20 different reasons why it is completely unacceptable. And you may not draw a line between your judgment of your neighbor and the judgment you just received, but there is a direct line. You'll see it more and more as you practice, because the Holy Spirit will show it to you and will connect the dots for you, and you'll be like, whoa, okay, I see what's going on here. Sentence 3.
Whenever the pain of guilt seems to attract you, remember that if you yield to it, you are deciding against your happiness and will not learn how to be happy. Say therefore to yourself, gently, but with the conviction born of the love of God and of His Son, what I experience, I will make manifest. If I am guiltless, I have nothing to fear. I choose to testify to my acceptance of the atonement, not to its rejection. I would accept my guiltlessness by making it manifest and sharing it. Let me bring peace to God's Son from His Father.
Sometimes we need just practical learning aids. I don't know if this is one you'd be willing to do, but you could actually take a little ink pen just for a day, and on the center of your palm on your left hand, you could write guilt, and on the center of your palm on your right hand, you could write happiness, or vice versa, whichever way. Reminding yourself that when you choose guilt, you are abandoning happiness. When you choose to judge someone, you are pushing away your own joy and happiness. And He's really working at helping us to understand that our decisions are leading to the experience of discomfort that we have right now. So He's showing us point by point those places where we are making decisions against ourselves through our decisions against others. So even if you put guilt over there and happiness over here, you'll quickly learn to remind yourself that as you choose guilt and judgment, you are relinquishing happiness and innocence. Let's go now to paragraph number 4.
Each day, each hour and minute, even each second, you are deciding between the crucifixion and the resurrection, between the ego and the Holy Spirit. The ego is the choice for guilt, the Holy Spirit the choice for guiltlessness. The power of decision is all that is yours.
I like using the example of just staring at your favorite lamp in the room. Just imagining that that lamp is within you and it's Holy Spirit. And your function is to stay focused on that lamp, right? And now you've got the world out here behind you, let's say, and they're all tapping on your shoulder. Might be your sister, your brother, might be a friend or a neighbor, someone at work. They're tapping on your shoulder, and it seems that they keep offering you reasons to break your gaze on that lamp and turn around and look at them, because they are upsetting you. They are shocking you. They are saying things that are making you unhappy. So our goal is to stay focused on the light of that lamp. Imagine it's within you. You could even practice by looking at a lamp in your room and just staying focused on it. And imagine the person that you might be having some trouble with in some way. They're tapping on your shoulder. They're trying to get you into this dance of judgment and attack, defense. Your function is to stay focused on the light, to listen to only one voice which comes from that light. It's a challenge because we tend to whip our heads around and look at what's happening in the world because of the things we hear and the things we see. But we are going to tighten that up tonight. Stay focused on that light. Holy Spirit will tell you what to say, what to do, how to respond in the situation you are in with very practical steps. And it is Holy Spirit that will heal the part of your mind that is producing it in the first place. And it is Holy Spirit that will restore your mind to peace and bring you the happy answer that you've been wanting all along. So everything that we want is invested in staying focused on that light, the light of innocence and love and truth, the light that is our teacher. So stay focused on that light no matter who's tapping on your shoulder, no matter what they are saying, what they are doing, how much they are annoying you, and ask Holy Spirit, decide for me about this. What do you want me to say, if anything? Is there something you would have me do, if anything? My goal is peace. And then you will feel that guidance gently come in, and then trust it. Whatever you're feeling calm about, that's a good step. And if you're not sure, ask again. And if you're not sure, ask again, and you cannot go wrong. Sentence 4.
What you can decide between is fixed, because there are no alternatives except truth and illusion, and there is no overlap between them, because they are opposites, which cannot be reconciled and cannot both be true. You are guilty or guiltless, bound or free, unhappy or happy.
We may not see ourselves as deciding against ourselves, but let's just take those words in sentence 6 right there. Guilty, guiltless, bound, free, unhappy, happy. If you gave yourself a rating on a 10-point scale for each one of those, would you find that you're giving yourself a 0 for guilty and a 10 for guiltless, or a 0 for bound and a 10 for free, or a 0 for unhappy and a 10 for happy? Chances are you're not. Chances are that there's a little bit of weight on those words that we do not want. This just tells us that there is a little bit of illusion in our mind that we are clinging to. Fortunately, we have a perfect teacher in our teacher of peace, the Holy Spirit. But assuming that you did not come up with all zeros on the guilty, bound, and unhappy side of things, then it just means that we have a few more areas that we are holding on to. We are still treasuring just a little bit, and Holy Spirit is helping us to let go of those things so that we will no longer hurt ourselves with them. Now, this process can happen very quickly the more we are willing to listen and follow that guidance without resistance. Remember, we are here to be happy learners, to not resist, not push back, not push away. So let's be willing today to let Holy Spirit wholly enter, rearrange all the furniture in our mind, and to be shown anything that we need to look at, and be willing to choose innocence instead of guilt for ourselves and for everyone. Let's go to paragraph 5.
The miracle teaches you that you have chosen guiltlessness, freedom, and joy. It is not a cause, but an effect.
This is such an important sentence because it teaches us that miracles are effects. Just think about that. I think sometimes we think about a miracle as God intervention, something that comes in and God kind of waves his hand and things change around. Maybe somebody was supposed to die on the operating table and all of a sudden they came back for no reason at all. Or someone gets into a very horrific accident and somehow through a miracle they walk away. It almost just seems like divine intervention. But we're learning through the Course that miracles, and a lot of us would like one, right? They are an effect. And they are an effect of choosing guiltlessness. Just think of this, that whether it's through prayer from someone else, a prayer of your own, whether it is a willingness to ask Holy Spirit to decide for you. See, Holy Spirit will always choose your guiltlessness. So if you're in a tough situation and you yell out for yourself, Holy Spirit, decide for me. Well, that's the perfect choice because Holy Spirit will always choose guiltlessness for you. You are not guilty. You are worthy of everything good, the finest that life has to offer. God's grace, God's love shining and showering over you. Holy Spirit will always choose what is real, where we would be tempted to choose against ourselves. When Holy Spirit makes that choice, the effect is the situation gets corrected. You see, when you feel worthy or you acknowledge your worthiness even through the Holy Spirit, then you can receive the correction of the error that you held in your mind that is now showing up as a situation. So the decision to choose guiltlessness brings you the miracle as an effect. So that one sentence, actually two of them, the miracle teaches you that you have chosen guiltlessness, freedom, and joy. It is not a cause, but an effect. So if you want your miracle, you want a certain thing to be corrected, then we must go back to the root and choose guiltlessness for us and for everyone involved in that situation. Sentence three.
It is the natural result of choosing right, attesting to your happiness that comes from choosing to be free of guilt.
There it's saying, these are such powerful sentences, that when we choose to be free of guilt, remember he's saying you're choosing it, because it's already done. You are already free of guilt, but we forget that. And then we assign that guilt not only to us, but to others. So when we choose to be free of guilt, we are attesting to our happiness. This is the natural result of choosing right. So hear those words, because it's really all about guilt. And if we would be willing to see the light in others, to see them wholly as a blessing in our lives, no matter what they are saying or doing, if we will forgive what we see and hear and instead be willing to choose to see their guiltlessness instead, this is what invites Holy Spirit to enter, to decide for us, and to bring the correction, which looks a whole lot like a miracle. Sentence four.
Everyone you offer healing to returns it. Everyone you attack keeps it and cherishes it by holding it against you. Whether he does this or does it not will make no difference. You will think he does.
So this is a good one to remember because if we judge someone or we attack them in our mind as being wrong, saying wrong, doing the wrong thing, it says that that other person will keep it. They will cherish it. And the way that they will cherish it is they will actually hold it against you, meaning if you're going to see it come back at you. So while you might think this other person over here is doing the wrong thing, what's going to happen is that you are then going to be accused of not doing the right thing. So it says whether or not this person does this, you will think they are doing it. Even when they're communicating something loving, you will likely perceive it as some form of judgment. Let's be willing to know that when we attack with our mind, our words, our thoughts, that this is what we are offering to others, and it will come back to us. It's not really karma, because karma is just the laws of cause and effect. So when we attack someone, that's us out there. So of course we are going to feel the pain of that attack while we are engaging illusions. Let's go now to sentence 7.
It is impossible to offer what you do not want without this penalty. The cost of giving is receiving. Either it is a penalty from which you suffer, or the happy purchase of a treasure to hold dear.
Sentence number 8. Let's star and underline that sentence. The cost of giving is receiving. So whatever you give, if you give love, you're going to get it back. If you give money, you're going to get it back multiplied. If you give your time, you're going to get somebody offering you their time. You're going to see it. The more that you practice, the more you will see. I have seen where Holy Spirit has drawn direct correlations. Where I gave $200, I got $2,000 back. Or I gave my time and then somebody offered to volunteer for me. Or I gave a seat in one of my classes and I was given a seat in another class that I wanted to go to. So what we give, the cost of that is receiving. This means that whatever you feel you are lacking in, this is what you must give in order to have it. Because the law of being is that you cannot give what you do not have. So if I think I don't have enough love or enough support in my life, instead of waiting around for someone to love and support me, what I must do is actually give of my love and support. And to do this by reminding myself that what I give, I receive. Because in order to give love and support, I'm acknowledging to myself that I have it to give. Now I'm coming from a different place in my mind, which means I'm acknowledging I have it, and then my eyes report that belief to me, and I open my eyes, and here comes that love and support back to me. Now, sometimes you'll think, well, I'm not seeing it coming back to me. But this is because we still have those little places in our mind that need correction. Because if we are loving and supporting of others, we're not seeing it come back, then this means that there's something in the way of our receiving. And probably something along the lines of, maybe we do not have a belief that yet supports that other people are generous in their love and their support. Maybe the people we're expecting to see this back from, we might have a whole story about them and how they do not love and support us. Holy Spirit is very gently showing us all those little places where we might be deciding against ourselves so that it can be undone. Let's go now to paragraph 6.
No penalty is ever asked of God's Son except by himself and of himself.
I love that sentence. Why don't you star that, underline that sentence? Let's say that you did something and it seems that you're going to be penalized. Maybe it's a tax you paid late. Maybe it's an invoice and you didn't mean to, but you did. And now there's this penalty. Or maybe you were trying to sign up for a class and you blew the deadline and now there's a penalty. Remember this. No penalty is ever asked of God's Son except by himself and of himself. So it's kind of a get-out-of-jail-free card. Now, that does not mean we go around being late on everything and then we try to just get God to fix that up for us, because that's not even coming from a place of love. But what it does mean is that when we feel penalized by something or someone, that penalty is coming from us to us. And remember, what frees us is forgiveness. So forgive yourself. Forgive the institution, forgive that other person, forgive everyone in the process. Let Holy Spirit decide for you about whether you should have a penalty or not. And of course, Holy Spirit will always decide for you in a very loving way. So we can remember, No penalty is ever asked of God's Son except by himself or herself or of himself or herself. Let's not penalize ourselves. Let's pause and choose again. Sentence number 2.
Every chance given him to heal is another opportunity to replace darkness with light and fear with love. If he refuses it, he binds himself to darkness because he did not choose to free his brother and enter light with him. By giving power to nothing, he throws away the joyous opportunity to learn that nothing has no power. And by not dispelling darkness, he became afraid of darkness and of light. The joy of learning that darkness has no power over the Son of God is the happy lesson the Holy Spirit teaches and would have you teach with him. It is his joy to teach it, as it will be yours.
I love sentence number 6, that darkness has no power. The joy of learning that darkness has no power over the Son of God is the happy lesson the Holy Spirit teaches and would have you teach with him. Just think of this, that whenever you feel afraid, or whenever you feel like you're running out of resources, or that you will not have enough for the future, this whole idea of darkness having power, lack, scarcity, almost like it's a presence or a bully in our lives, we are learning through the Course, through Holy Spirit, that darkness has no power over the Son of God. This is the happy lesson the Holy Spirit is teaching us. And we can link that back to no penalty is asked of us except from us. So we are learning to not only accept these lessons as the happy learner, but to teach them so that they will be reinforced for us. Darkness has no power over us. Paragraph number 7.
The way to teach this simple lesson is merely this. Guiltlessness is invulnerability. Therefore, make your invulnerability manifest to everyone. Teach him that, whatever he may try to do to you, your perfect freedom from the belief that you can be harmed shows him that he is guiltless. He can do nothing that can hurt you. And by refusing to allow him to think he can, you teach him that the atonement which you have accepted for yourself is also his. There is nothing to forgive. No one can hurt the Son of God. His guilt is wholly without cause, and being without cause cannot exist.
All right, this is a triple star paragraph, and I'll tell you why. This one is so important, and you might want to write in the column there, teach others that they cannot harm you. Because let's say someone does something. They might do something like run into your car. They might say something mean. But let's say that they have made a very unreasonable request of you. But it can be really anything that you're really upset with them about. You're very likely to want to teach them that they have hurt you and this is wrong and they need to stop and this needs to end and all of that. And you feel very right and justified in this decision. But what he's teaching us here is that we must teach others that they cannot harm us. Now you might think, well, why would I do that? Because they won't know that they did anything wrong, right? And so that's the little innocent part of our mind saying, but wait, what about me? What about what they're doing and it's wrong? So think about this. Before you speak, you are always making a decision about what you are going to say and what you are willing to support. If someone does something that you do not like and your response is to let them have it, basically let them know they have harmed you, and this is a problem, and now you have suffered as a result. Well, you see, what you've just done is you have now abandoned the truth of who you are, because the truth of you is you cannot be altered, you cannot be harmed, no power can be taken away from you, and there is nothing that God gave you that can be altered or taken away. So through your decision to judge them, lash out at them, you have just joined with the old false image of yourself again. So before you open your mouth and you decide which way you're going with this, if you will pause and remind yourself that when someone says something that really upsets you, pause, remind yourself, I cannot be altered by this. I am as God created me. I cannot be anything less than what God created me to be. And I am willing to see this person as the truth of who they are. This is not the truth of them. And I am willing to see our innocence together. What I've just done is I have chosen to reinforce the truth of who I am, and I have chosen to abandon the lie of who we are as it's playing out in front of me. Now, the result of the situation, the effect, is going to align with the choice that you made. So this actually works. I mean, some of these things you think, well, that will never work because they'll never stop doing what they're doing. But actually they do. While that person is attacking you, let's say it's on the phone or in a conversation, and if you're willing to hold in your mind, I am invulnerable. I cannot be attacked. I cannot lose. There is no power outside of me that can take anything from me. And Holy Spirit, what would you like me to say to this person? What would you have me say? Not about judgment or responding to the attack, just what would you have me say? What I've just done is reinforced the truth. And all of a sudden, what you'll find is this person stops showing up as a persecutor. Because if you are the dreamer of your dream, and you are no longer playing out those old thought forms about how people show up in your life, and you're no longer attacking them in your mind for the roles they are playing, but instead you're holding on to what is true about you and them, well, the figures in your dream show up differently. And they do. So stay committed to it. Be consistent to the practice, which means don't go into the judgment. Do not jump on that roller coaster. Feet on the ground. Stand with Holy Spirit. And simply say, Holy Spirit, decide for me about this. Decide for me about them. Decide for me about whatever it is they are asking me to do, and tell me what you would have me say in return. You are a happy learner and a happy listener, and you will be guided, and the situation is going to turn out peacefully. So we are learning to stand up for what is true and to deny what is false. The difference makes all the difference in the world. Paragraph 8.
God is the only cause, and guilt is not of him.
This is where we're learning that guilt is an election. Guilt is something we made up when we accepted that false idea of separation. We believe in our deep inner core of our mind that we have separated from God, and we further believe that we caused it to happen. Somehow we are flawed, or we are sinners, or we are something less than what God created us to be. And so as a result, we are choosing to feel guilty. But the Course says again and again, God is the only cause, the creator and cause. We are the effect of the cause. God did not create guilt. Guilt is not of him. And he created us. And so guilt is not of us. We are not separate, and we are not guilty. But this whole idea of guilt is brilliant on the part of the ego, because guilt is like putting your hand over your eyes, and then you think the light went out, but it did not go out. Guilt is a decision that blocks your mind from what is true. So tonight, if you hear anything, choose innocence instead of guilt, and teach no one that they have hurt you. Instead, give the situation to Holy Spirit. Let it be undone and corrected. Be committed to what is true, and then all of it can stop and correct for the long haul. Sentence 2.
Teach no one he has hurt you, for if you do, you teach yourself that what is not of God has power over you.
Another huge and powerful sentence. When we teach ourselves that someone else has the power, they have the power to decide for us. They have the power to take our time away, or our happiness, or our resources. Maybe somebody stole something from you, or that fire over there has the power to take my house away without my consent. When we believe this, we will have situation after situation where it appears that there's this bully outside of us. It can be a person, a fire, a storm, an institution, a situation, the ocean. Something out there will feel like it has the power, which means that you don't. And this is backward. And A Course in Miracles is helping us to understand that all power is within us. There is no opposing power. There is no external power. There is no bully. We see things in our life as a bully or something that can take from us because we believe separation is real. So these are the areas being brought to our mind so they can be clarified and corrected and healed. And Holy Spirit is the healer. So let's remember that we are here to teach that no one can hurt us because the power of God is within us. Holy Spirit is a perfect guide. We'll correct everything if we will not go off into the story and revalidate what is not true, because that causes delay. And instead, we remember all power is within us, and what is not of God has no power whatsoever. Sentence 3.
The causeless cannot be. Do not attest to it, and do not foster belief in it in any mind. Remember always that mind is one, and cause is one. You will learn communication with this oneness only when you learn to deny the causeless and accept the cause of God as yours. The power that God has given to his Son is his, and nothing else can his Son see or choose to look upon without imposing on himself the penalty of guilt. In place of all the happy teaching the Holy Spirit would gladly offer him.
It's almost like we're walking along this path of life, and we think there is all of these things that we must do, that we have details, activities, decisions to make, and we have to get these things right, or there are repercussions of all that. So imagine you're walking down this path of life, and really all you're asked to do is decide with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit knows every single thing that needs to happen to ensure our happiness. Every single thing. Right down to what to wear to a certain event, what to say in a conversation, how to stand up to a perceived bully. The Holy Spirit knows every single answer. You're walking along this path with your guide, holding your hand. And it is not your job to get everything right. It's not your job to know what to say and when to say it. It's your job to hold the hand of your guide that is within you and ask about everything, especially when you are unclear and you're not feeling happy, especially then. But this path, all you're asked to do is ask, pay attention, and do not decide against yourself or anyone else. Do not cast guilt. Do not cast judgment. Just simply hold the hand of Holy Spirit and be willing to choose with love instead of away from it, with innocence instead of guilt. And as you walk along this path, the path is assured to be happy, abundant, healthy, wonderful, everything good, because our guide is the one making those decisions. And we'll hear more about that in this section. But let's lay down all those duties of thinking that we have to get it right And let's be willing to rely on the guide within us that always gets it right. Let's go to paragraph 9.
Well, I have to tell you before I read it, this next sentence pretty much is the marquee description of most of my life before beginning to study A Course in Miracles.
Right. Exactly. Me too. Let's go to paragraph 9, sentence number 1, big star over sentence 1.
Whenever you choose to make decisions for yourself, you are thinking destructively, and the decision will be wrong.
Now, the ego does not like that sentence because it might think, well, what am I, just a little puppet to do whatever God says, and don't I get to decide? How come you're telling me not to make decisions for myself? Do you think I'm dumb? Do you think I can't think for myself? The ego is highly offended. In A Course in Miracles, it says our ego is apt to be personally insulted. But what we learn is that somewhere along the way, we have decided against ourselves. Holy Spirit has never done this. So we have this guide that holds this blueprint of our happiness, kind of like rolled up under his arm. And that blueprint is ours. But along the way, we've been pushing it away through our own decisions, through our own plan for what we think is supposed to happen on any given day. We are learning how to reclaim that blueprint. And so instead of being insulted by the idea that Holy Spirit would make every decision for us, it's really saying, I'm willing to align with Holy Spirit because every decision is being made by that part of my mind that knows every part of intelligence, past, present, or future. It's being made by the part of my mind that knows the happiest answer on my behalf. It's being made by the part of my mind that will ensure that I have every resource available to me to be able to execute the plan towards my happiness. So it's really saying yes to something that loves you completely, the only part of your mind that knows every happy answer. So when we turn over decision making, it's to turn over all those areas where we have been deciding against ourselves and we didn't know it. Now, once we start thinking with Holy Spirit, you will be thinking the very same things because you will not want anything less than happiness for yourself or for anyone else. And at that point, it will not feel like you're thinking out of two different sides of your head. So once you are willing to choose only happiness in every moment, choosing only what you want in every moment, not based on should or guilt or some kind of pressure, that when you're choosing truly from happiness, then Holy Spirit's decision will be very clear in your mind because it is the same decision. We are only listening for Holy Spirit to do that decision making while we have decided against ourselves. And this will be very evident as we go along. Let's go to sentence 2.
It will hurt you because of the concept of decision that led to it. It is not true that you can make decisions by yourself or for yourself alone. No thought of God's Son can be separate or isolated in its effects. Every decision is made for the whole Sonship, directed in and out, and influencing a constellation larger than anything you ever dreamed of.
Let's go ahead and star that last sentence. It's so powerful that every decision that we make, and that's why it's so important to include Holy Spirit in the decision, is made for the whole Sonship, directed in and out, and influencing a constellation larger than anything that we have ever dreamed of. Let's be aware that when we make a decision, it's not made in a vacuum. That's why it's so important to listen to the part of your mind that has the understanding that includes everyone everywhere. So let's say you have a very happy idea of making some cookies for your neighbor, and you would love for them to get them when they're right out of the oven and they're hot and they're wonderful. And let's say you go ahead and decide upon yourself to make them at 1 o'clock in the afternoon because they're usually home by 2 o'clock and you feel this will work out fine. And maybe what you don't know is that they're not coming home today because they're actually doing something that night. You have no idea of this. Every other day they've been home by 2. And you would find that your cookies get cold. They are not served hot. They do not make it at the right place at the right time. But if we will simply pause and we ask Holy Spirit, we say, hey, Holy Spirit, I'm feeling a joyful nudge to make these cookies for my neighbor. I would love for this to turn out wonderful. Is this your will for me? Is this what you would have me do? And you feel very joyful about this, but all of a sudden you get the nudge to do it later. You get to the evening and you still feel like, I'm just not ready to do this. And then all of a sudden you do it the next day and you realize your neighbors never actually came home. So all of a sudden you're making these cookies, they come right out of the oven, and what do you know, your neighbor comes and knocks right at your door and you hand them this plate of cookies and it is perfect. We are learning that decisions with Holy Spirit are perfect. And it's not about making things happen the way we want them to be. It's about happiness. When you get a good idea, take it back to Holy Spirit. Ask, is this your will for me? Is this what you would like for me to do? And how would you like me to do that? I want the highest, happiest outcome. What does that look like? And then you're just in this place of gentle listening, following what is peaceful to you, following what is compelling, and being unwilling to go into judgment and guilt and all the rest. You will see that things work out in a very beautiful way. Let's go to paragraph 10.
Those who accept the atonement are invulnerable, but those who believe they are guilty will respond to guilt because they think it is salvation, and will not refuse to see it and side with it. They believe that increasing guilt is self-protection, and they will fail to understand the simple fact that what they do not want must hurt them.
In sentence number 2, it's talking about the belief that guilt is the way to God, that if we will see ourselves as less than whole and powerless and faulty, that if we will carry guilt, suffering, and sacrifice, that this is the way to the heart of God. I used to think that too, and I have learned that one of the ways that we can really feel that connection and the relationship with our Creator is by acknowledging the wonderful beauty that is created within each one of us, acknowledging the light that God placed within us, learning through joy instead of pain, and reclaiming our innocence in the place of guilt, and accepting that what God created within us has never been altered, and that we are honoring our Creator as we reclaim our true identity. So we are learning that laying down guilt is the quickest way to our own invulnerability. If you are feeling vulnerable right now in a situation where it feels like somebody outside of you has the power, or there might be sounds that have the power, or some kind of pressure that has the power, or an exam that has the power, then remember that all power is of God and that power is within you. Remember that you are invulnerable and that there is no opposing power. There is nothing that can hurt, harm, alter, or threaten you because there is no separation. All power is within you. The light is there and there is no opposite. There is nothing to fear. Sentence 5.
All this arises because they do not believe that what they want is good. Yet will was given them because it is holy and will bring to them all that they need, coming as naturally as peace that knows no limits. There is nothing their will fails to provide that offers them anything of value. Yet because they do not understand their will, the Holy Spirit quietly understands it for them and gives them what they want without effort, strain, or the impossible burden of deciding what they want and need alone.
I have actually worked with many people that when we talk about what they would like to have or what happy experience they are thinking of, sometimes people will tell me, well, I've never had a happy experience. I don't know what I want. And it's because they have not had happy experiences that they can remember. What I love about these couple of sentences is it says in sentence 8 that the Holy Spirit quietly understands it for them and will give them what they want without effort, strain, or the impossible burden of deciding, and that they are not alone. So you might feel that you don't know what you want to do for your career. You don't know what you want in terms of relationship. This is true because Holy Spirit is the only one to know the highest level of wisdom and intelligence in any situation about what would truly make you happy. It's okay that you do not know. That's actually a statement of fact. What we do know, and that's what I like to focus on, what we do know is the Holy Spirit will quietly understand what we need to be happy for us, then give that to us and lead us on the way. So let's be willing to know we have a guide that has every answer. Don't put that pressure on yourself. Just be willing to be taught all about happiness and what that might look like. Then let your guide show you and fulfill that healing. Paragraph number 11.
It will never happen that you must make decisions for yourself. You are not bereft of help, and help that knows the answer.
I love these very powerful sentences. That's a wonderful quote to put in front of you or write down. We are never asked to make decisions for ourselves. We always have help, and we have help that knows the answer. Just think of this. Whatever you are facing right now, in this moment, that seems impossible, you have help that knows the answer. Now, oftentimes we don't hear the guidance from our help because we have decided that we either know the answer or we have decided that there is no answer, or we have 25 reasons against the answer being possible. So let's lay all of that down and listen to our guide that has the answer, and let's be willing to trust that there is an answer because there is no order of difficulty in miracles. Sentence 3.
Would you be content with little, which is all that you alone can offer yourself, when he who gives you everything will simply offer it to you?
If you're in a situation where you need an answer and you need it quickly, and let's make something simple. Let's say you need $20 by 2 o'clock and you don't have it, whatever zeros you want to add after that number, and you feel like you might be able to get a hold of $5 but not $20. So you can multiply that out. But we must understand that Holy Spirit has every answer. Where we might offer ourselves a half answer or a little answer or decide against the full answer, our guide will offer the full answer every time. So let's be willing to step back, lay down what we think we know, realize if we make decisions, we are going to be thinking destructively, and we are willing to let Holy Spirit decide for us so that we can have the happy answer. Sentence 4.
Also, at the end of this next sentence, I'll tell you something related to it.
Okay.
He will never ask what you have done to make you worthy of the gift of God. Where it says, he will never ask what you have done to make you worthy of the gift of God. I would have to spend some time going back thinking about where this mindset first began for me. But I even remember as a kid that in my mind, I thought if there was some test I wanted to do better on, or some relationship I wanted to work, or some event in sports I wanted to succeed at, it ended up actually getting me in pretty good physical shape. But I remember as a kid on my bicycle, I lived where there were a lot of steep hills, especially as a young kid. And I used to tell myself that if I could strain and strain and strain and get myself to pedal my bike all the way to the top of the hill, no matter how hard it was, that these things would be given to me and they would work. But it required this physical overcoming of doing things like that. And although I ended up in good shape, it didn't help.
And did it ever work?
No.
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 But I continued to try it. If I can just get to the top of this hill, I know this will work. I've got to get up there. And I would do that. I'd push myself as far as I had to go, and I always made it to the top. But nothing worked.
And these are the things that Holy Spirit is helping us to look at and see differently. I can attest, Terry, that you see these things differently now, that you're not willing to punish yourself in order to think that you can gain. It really does open both of us up when we do this together. It opens all of us up to receiving with effortlessness, really feeling the grace of God without effort whatsoever. Sentence 5.
Ask it not, therefore, of yourself. Instead, accept his answer, for he knows that you are worthy of everything God wills for you. Do not try to escape the gift of God he so freely and so gladly offers you. He offers you but what God gave him for you. You need not decide whether or not you are deserving of it. God knows you are.
That word deserving, I think it really gets in our way. It might be a word that you just eliminate from your vocabulary. I know it's just not helpful because we have taught ourselves that we do not deserve to have something good happen, that we did not work hard enough or learn enough or do the right things, check the right boxes, and certainly we must not be what we should be in the eyes of God. So if we choose any one of these reasons why we should not know the grace and the love of our Creator, well, it will feel like that grace is denied us. So let's be willing to lay down that word of deserving, because it says God created us as worthy. God knows that we are worthy. He knows that we are worthy of everything that God has created for us on our behalf. Instead of deciding if we are deserving or not deserving, or if someone else is, let's lay that down. Let's reclaim that we are worthy because God created us to be, no matter how many mistakes we have made. We are worthy because the blueprint of who we are is we are worthy. We are then open to receive the blessings of our Creator that have already been given. But we are claiming them now as all these little obstacles in our mind are being first identified and then neutralized by Holy Spirit as we offer them over for healing. Let's go to paragraph 12.
Would you deny the truth of God's decision and place your pitiful appraisal of yourself in place of his calm and unswerving value of his Son?
Our pitiful appraisal of ourselves. We may not think we're doing that, but I think we do. If we think we flunked at something or bad grade on an exam or we really blew a conversation or we were supposed to give a speech and we stuttered or whatever we think we did wrong, we end up placing our pitiful appraisal of ourselves instead of or replacing it in front of the truth of God's decision that we are worthy. So let's be willing to let that be undone and not place our pitiful appraisal in front of the truth. Sentence 2.
Made me think of Linda Ronstadt's song, Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me.
Oh, I know. It's such a sad song. And we sing those sad songs
Sorry,
in
Linda.
Our mind without even thinking about it. And instead, be willing to see the truth of ourselves and let Holy Spirit bring that back to our awareness. It sure comes with much greater blessings. Sentence 2.
Nothing can shake God's conviction of the perfect purity of everything that he created for it is wholly pure. Do not decide against it, for being of Him, it must be true.
Whatever it is that you might be judging yourself about right now, no matter how horrible it might be, whatever you did, either intentionally or unintentionally, you are still, as God created you, wholly pure. And it says God's conviction of this is everything He created, He knows it's wholly pure, and nothing can shake His conviction. So be willing to join Him there and lay down all those self-judgments. Be willing to forgive yourself completely and, of course, extend that forgiveness to everyone everywhere. Be wholly willing to see them free of guilt, that no trace of guilt has ever touched them in truth. And as you do this, you reclaim the innocence that is yours, and you reclaim all those blessings that come with this awareness. Let's go to sentence 4.
Peace abides in every mind that quietly accepts the plan God set for its atonement, relinquishing its own. You know not of salvation, for you do not understand it. Make no decisions about what it is or where it lies, but ask the Holy Spirit everything and leave all decisions to His gentle counsel.
All right, so peace is in every mind that accepts the truth that what God created is still true. If we will accept that, we will have peace, and our eyes will report that peace to us as long as we are asleep and dreaming. So the dream becomes happy, and people start showing up in a much happier way. And I love what he says here about leave all decisions to the Holy Spirit's gentle counsel. We start out believing, perhaps, that Holy Spirit's going to be pretty tough on us and ask a lot of us, and maybe we don't want that. But what we're learning is that Holy Spirit is wholly loving and offers only gentle counsel that comes right at that pace that we are willing to understand, or a pace that we are willing to keep up with, and in a language that we understand. Holy, loving, gentle counsel. Paragraph 13.
The one who knows the plan of God that God would have you follow can teach you what it is. Only His wisdom is capable of guiding you to follow it.
This keeps going back to the Holy Spirit as the one who knows the plan that God would have you follow, so that you have the happiness that is the will of God. There's only one plan. There's only one guide for that plan, because somewhere in our mind we accepted that we shouldn't have the plan, that we are less than whole, that we are guilty, that we should have punishment, that we do deserve that punishment. We are learning to think differently. We are learning to lay down all of those self-judgments, receive that gentle counsel, allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in everything. Then pretty soon, we are deciding with Holy Spirit, and you will feel like there is no other voice to contend with, because the voice will be in unison with your own. Sentence 3.
Every decision you undertake alone but signifies that you would define what salvation is and what you would be saved from.
So if you think about it, every time we make a decision without Holy Spirit's counsel, we are actually defending against something. If we're trying to get more business, we're probably defending against not having enough income. If we're trying to get more love from our relationship, we might be defending against feeling lonely and unloved. So everything that we're doing is usually driven by our past experiences, and without realizing it, it's almost like we've traveled on a road and we've hit a few potholes along the road. And so without realizing it, as we go forward, we are watching for how to fill those future potholes so that the road is smooth. And what we're doing is we're using the past to guard against the future. And this is what really keeps that cycle of potholes going and going and going. So we're learning that we do not have to make decisions ourselves. And in fact, we would be thinking destructively if we do. But if we will turn over decision-making, it's Holy Spirit that will make sure that we can have a smooth ride free of those potholes, right? Let's go now to sentence 4.
The Holy Spirit knows that all salvation is escape from guilt. You have no other enemy. And against this strange distortion of the purity of the Son of God, the Holy Spirit is your only friend. He is the strong protector of the innocence that sets you free, and it is his decision to undo everything that would obscure your innocence from your unclouded mind.
If we boil this down to a very simple idea, whatever problem you face, whatever that might be on any given day, you could simply ask yourself, who am I judging? And you can quickly get to the source of the guilt in your mind that if you don't have enough money, let's say, you might be judging yourself, or you might be judging a customer, someone that's withholding something from you, or you might be judging the system as being too complex and too unforgiving. If you don't have your health, you might be judging the world because you have this situation because of how the world is, or you might be judging yourself for how you took care of yourself, or you might be judging your situation because you do not have the resources for preventative medicine, and on and on. So whatever the problem is, pause and just ask yourself, who or what am I judging? Would you be willing to forgive that person or yourself or the institution or the illness, whatever you are judging? Because he's telling us in this paragraph that guilt is our only enemy. Guilt is our only enemy. So let's remember that we can choose innocence instead, and that forgiveness is the key to happiness. Let's go to paragraph 14.
Let him, therefore, be the only guide that you would follow to salvation. He knows the way and leads you gladly on it. With him, you will not fail to learn that what God wills for you is your will. Without his guidance, you will think you know alone and will decide against your peace as surely as you decided that salvation lay in you alone. Salvation is of him to whom God gave it for you. He has not forgotten it. Forget him not, and he will make every decision for you, for your salvation and the peace of God in you.
If you think of the relief that if you are willing right now, that you could actually turn over all decision-making for the rest of your life. You do not have to make one more decision. Not about what to do, where to live, who will be your friends, what you need to say. You do not need to make one more decision about anything. Take a nice deep breath. Relax your shoulders. You are off duty. Now there are decisions to be made, right? And so as we walk along the path of this so-called life that we are in, there are decisions to be made, but we are holding the hand of one who knows every answer, even about what to do on any given day and any given moment of that day. So pause, ask frequently, all the time, what would you like me to do, Holy Spirit? How would you like me to handle this? What would you have me say? Is this the right thing? Is this what you would choose for me? And you're building this relationship that will feel so reassuring. And pretty soon you will not need to ask all those questions. You will get answers before you form the question in your mind. It gets simpler and simpler. But today we will make no decisions for ourselves. We will simply ask about everything and then follow what feels peaceful and compelling. At first, you might feel that nothing feels peaceful or compelling. That's because you're a little new at this. And so the mind is still filled with all of these thought forms that are filled with fear and conflict. But Holy Spirit is going to help that to clear up. Until that happens, just ask again. Do what feels most peaceful or least fearful, and you will continually toggle yourself in the direction of peace. Ultimately, you will know only peace. Paragraph 15.
Seek not to appraise the worth of God's Son, whom He created holy. For to do so is to evaluate His Father and judge against Him. And you will feel guilty for this imagined crime, which no one in this world or heaven could possibly commit.
Let's say you see someone on the news and they are being tried for a horrific crime. You are very tempted to think, oh yeah, they're guilty and they did this. They should be thrown away. They should be executed, or whatever is in your mind. But realize that our part as the bringers of the light is to turn that whole situation over to Holy Spirit, hold the hand of the one that walks with you, and say, Holy Spirit, I see all of these things with my eyes and I hear things with my ears. My temptation is to judge them very harshly, and I wholly dedicate this situation to be given to the light of truth. Will you give me the vision to see the truth of them? The light that God placed within them, to be wholly willing to understand that this holy child of God can only bless everyone. I'm not seeing this because I used to believe that we were separate and that other people could harm me. But now I'm willing to hear what you have to tell me about this. Now, this does not mean that the person will not go through a trial or go on to prison or whatever might happen there, because the Holy Spirit will always use teaching aids, sometimes in the illusion, that lead to a higher answer or a higher revelation of the answer. So consequences are very important teaching aids, but we can have consequences without wrath and without judgment and even without guilt. Let's be willing to hold the truth of every other person, no matter what we see or hear. This is the way we can serve the greater plan. It's okay for the consequences to play out, for people to learn in different situations at the guidance of Holy Spirit. Sometimes when someone in our dream seems to be this rogue force of just causing all these problems in our dream, you might see Holy Spirit actually allow them to go off to prison, because prison will be the first step in the undoing of these wrong actions. So in prison, many people have revelations. Many people draw much closer to God. They have much more time to think. They learn through consequences that their actions are not useful, not acceptable. We want our consequences. Sometimes they seem severe, but they are always teaching aids. Remember, ultimately, we can learn through joy instead of pain, but we don't know this. And the people that are still learning through pain have not learned this yet, but they will. When they do, they will be so happy there is another answer. Until then, we will trust the plan. We will allow Holy Spirit to orchestrate this beautiful constellation that is leading all of us to a much higher place of happiness and well-being. Our part as the viewer, as the dreamer, is to be committed to the light, truth, and innocence in every other person, regardless of appearances. If we can do this, you will find that blessing of our own Creator all around you in your life consistently. Let's go now to sentence 3.
The Holy Spirit teaches only that the sin of self-replacement on the throne of God is not a source of guilt. What cannot happen can have no effects to fear. Be quiet in your faith in Him who loves you and would lead you out of insanity.
Now, sentence 3 is a little tough one to understand, but I think what it's saying is that we believe that we have dethroned ourselves, that here we are, the holy, precious child of God, but we believe that we have altered that beauty within ourselves, that innocence, that we have dethroned ourselves. And what he's saying here is that this sin that we think we committed and we have replaced ourselves on the throne of God with a guilty, miserable sinner, it says that this cannot happen. It can have no effects because what God created within us cannot be undone. It cannot be replaced. And there's nothing we can do to alter our true self. So be willing to forgive yourself and reclaim the innocence that you are and have on the throne of God, as it has been given. Just a willingness to reclaim it is enough. And then Holy Spirit can show you how all the dots come together in your mind. Then you will be able to see it clearly. Sentence 6.
Madness may be your choice, but not your reality. Never forget the love of God, who has remembered you. For it is quite impossible that he could ever let his son drop from the loving mind wherein he was created and where his abode was fixed in perfect peace forever.
Such pretty words. We are reminded that God has never dropped us at the curb. God has never abandoned us. Sometimes we feel abandoned, like we're not getting those answers that we are seeking. But remember that we have all of these thought forms, all these beliefs from the past, where we have decided that we are separate, that God has abandoned us, and that other people are not of the light. These are things that are being healed and corrected in our mind. And remember that the miracle is the effect of choosing guiltlessness. So let's invite all those miracles. Let's choose our guiltlessness every day. Allow these beautiful words to take a place in our heart, that we have never been dropped from the loving mind where we are created. Let's put double brackets around paragraph 16. It is one of my favorite practices in A Course in Miracles, and it's all about asking the Holy Spirit to decide for us. You'll see that I use this again and again in the prayer book at Miracles in Prayer. That's something you can download free at miraclesforliving.org. You can also purchase the book at miraclecenterstore.com, but decide for me is very common use of words in my prayer book, that we want Holy Spirit to decide for us, especially when we find ourselves in a difficult situation. Paragraph 16, sentence 1.
Say to the Holy Spirit only, decide for me, and it is done. For his decisions are reflections of what God knows about you, and in this light, error of any kind becomes impossible.
Did you all hear that? That when we ask Holy Spirit to decide for us, there you go, error of any kind becomes impossible. Do you see the guide that walks with you? That if we will rely on Holy Spirit's guidance, and it's not easy because we decide what we think we want, what we think we need, how we think the plan should go, and we have to stop. Stop. Pause. Holy Spirit, decide for me. Let's say you really want this job that you're interviewing for. You want this car that you're trying to buy. You want this person to pay attention to you because you really think that they might be this next friend that you would love to have. Holy Spirit, decide for me. That means you have to be willing to let it go, because it may not be, they may not be in your best interest at this time. So those are not easy words, because when Holy Spirit decides for us, it means we must be willing to lay down our own plan. But look at what it brings. No error of any kind. So think of the beauty of this. We have a guide to decide for us. That guide knows every answer. There's a constellation that's larger than we have ever imagined, that we cannot possibly know the right answers. If we try to decide by ourselves, we will be thinking destructively. And if we will ask Holy Spirit to decide for us, error of any kind becomes what? Impossible. Sentence 3.
Why would you struggle so frantically to anticipate all you cannot know, when all knowledge lies behind every decision the Holy Spirit makes for you? Learn of His wisdom and His love, and teach His answer to everyone who struggles in the dark, for you decide for them and for yourself.
All right, so let's practice for a moment. Let's say you believe you need $1,000 by tomorrow, and you have no idea how you're going to come up with this, not a clue. Now realize, when you give this situation to Holy Spirit and you say, Holy Spirit, decide for me about this. Now, this does not mean that it's just about how you will get your $1,000. What this means is that the whole thought form around the $1,000 has to be turned over. First of all, you think you need $1,000 by tomorrow. Maybe you don't. Maybe whatever it is that you think you need it for is going to change tomorrow morning. Maybe that number is going to double. Maybe it's going to go away. Maybe it's going to be moved to next Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Let's pause. First of all, Holy Spirit, decide for me about this whole situation about the $1,000. Is this what I need? You're just asking, do I really need $1,000? And if I do, how would you have that provided? Should it be provided? What needs to happen here? So literally, you're stepping back from the whole thing about the $1,000, whether you actually need it in the first place, when you need it, how it will come to you, what it will be used for, who will be involved. So I want you to realize that when you are saying, Holy Spirit, decide for me, it's about everything that is in your mind that is a conflict. So pause, let go of the whole situation. Holy Spirit, decide for me about everything in respect to this $1,000. You decide, in this way I will know that error of any kind becomes impossible, which means I cannot be hurt by this. I cannot be harmed by this. I cannot be delayed. These are all the thought forms that are in my mind that you are trying to heal now, and I wholly let you. Let's go now to paragraph 17.
How gracious it is to decide all things through Him whose equal love is given equally to all alike. He leaves you no one outside you.
He leaves us no one outside us. This means that every answer provided by Holy Spirit is going to be a right and perfect answer for every person involved. It's going to be an answer that literally leads every single person to their next step in this awakening journey. So that's why we are not the ones to make the decision, because we don't know how our decisions are going to affect the other people in a given situation and everyone out from there. Holy Spirit leaves no one outside of us. Everyone will be included. Sentence 3.
And so He gives you what is yours, because your Father would have you share it with Him. In everything, be led by Him, and do not reconsider. Trust Him to answer quickly, surely, and with love for everyone who will be touched in any way by the decision, and everyone will be. Would you take unto yourself the sole responsibility for deciding what can bring only good to everyone? Would you know this?
The answer is no, I would not know this. So I do not know the right decision that's even the right one for you, Terry, or for me, or for our kids or our grandkids. I do not know the answer. In A Course in Miracles, it says that the scariest words to the ego are, I do not know. So we're practicing being okay with not knowing, because the truth is we do not know. And the quicker we understand that we do not know the answer, the quicker we will ask Holy Spirit for the right answer. So let's be willing to really listen to paragraph 17. It has some beautiful quotes if you end up writing those down as you practice turning over decisions, about trusting him to answer quickly, surely, and with love for everyone who will be touched by this in any way. So let's be willing to write some of those sentences down as we practice and release ourselves from decision-making of any kind. Paragraph 18.
You taught yourself the most unnatural habit of not communicating with your Creator.
I just think that's funny.
Why
so let's
did
start
I do that?
Sentence number one, because we taught ourselves the unnatural habit of not communicating with God. And we have to get better. We have to get better at it because it is costing us our happiness, our awareness of our happiness. All right, God, we are committed to communicating with you much more frequently, so that we can remember the happiness that is your will for us. Sentence two.
Yet you remain in close communication with him and with everything that is within him, as it is within yourself. Unlearn isolation through his loving guidance, and learn of all the happy communication that you have thrown away but could not lose.
Now, sometimes people will say, well, I just don't hear the guidance. And I didn't either, my friends. I didn't either. It took a while. I had to be willing to forgive myself. There were some things that Holy Spirit guided me to do that I did not know I was being guided to do. And forgiveness was a very big part of that. And the less noise you have in your mind about what you think you did wrong or your fear about other people, as that noise level comes down in your mind, the voice of Holy Spirit comes up. And you'll find it's much easier to get to a very peaceful state more quickly. We have taught ourselves not to communicate. We are learning to let go of that. And if you feel that you're not receiving the guidance that you would like to receive, let's just be willing to blow right on through that. Let's be willing to be wrong about that. We go back to Holy Spirit every day and go back and say, Holy Spirit, I don't feel like I'm hearing you, but I want to hear you. I am committed to hearing you, and I'm going to give you several minutes each day without a question. I am going to show up and just listen. I will show up every day until I feel that I am hearing you. You have my commitment. It's not about our suffering or sacrifice. It's about really being committed to the choice to listen. And you will hear. I had to learn how to hear. I can honestly say that these days that I do feel that I hear the voice of Holy Spirit, that I have this very gentle flow of information, almost like someone standing over my right shoulder and just whispering into my ear, so much so that it feels like they're talking and I'm listening and then I speak whatever I'm speaking. Doesn't happen all the time. I get in the way in my head, but I hear that guidance much more clearly today. Terry, you do too as well, right? Just in terms of when you have a situation where you feel gentle guidance coming through and you just know what to do.
Absolutely.
This is every day. We talk about it every day where sometimes we might have a business issue going on and there's all this complexity and everybody's upset because something's not getting done by a certain time. Terry or myself will pray about it. All of a sudden, one of us will be guided to an answer, or someone else will call in with an answer that is just perfect, and it just cleans it all up. But we can't fall into the trap of trying to find the answer ourselves. Every time it gets hard, back up, pause, let your guide take the first step. All right, let's go to our last paragraph in number 19.
Whenever you are in doubt, what you should do, think of His presence in you and tell yourself this, and only this, He leadeth me and knows the way, which I know not.
This is another beautiful sentence. You might want to write that down for yourself. I would take this information and sometimes just paraphrase it for myself so I could remember it easily. One little mantra I adopted for myself was, God, I am willing to walk anywhere and everywhere you want me to go, which means whatever you want me to do, I will do it. Whatever you place in front of me, I will do it. And I will do it with a happy heart. Holy Spirit, you are in charge of my time, my decision making, whatever you would have me do, I am willing. Say someone makes a very unreasonable request. I don't immediately answer them and say, oh yes, I'm supposed to do that because I'm doing anything and everything in my path. What I do is take that unreasonable request, I take it directly to my guide within me and say, Holy Spirit, this person is making a request of me. Is this what you would have me do? Is this how you would have me do it? And if it is, I will do it with a happy heart. You tell me what to do. It is your decision to make, and I will go anywhere and everywhere you would have me go. I will do it with trust and faith, and I will follow along in your steps because I have learned that this is my quickest route to the happy outcome. So I'm going to lay down what I think about this, and I am going to adopt what you think about this, and we will take our step together. And then wait for further instructions. If you feel like you're not getting them, the timing is probably not quite right yet, but you can pray about it again, ask about it again, but leave room for divine timing so that the information can be given you in a way that you will most clearly understand it. Now we'll finish up with number 3 to the end.
Yet He will never keep from me what He would have me learn. And so I trust Him to communicate to me all that He knows for me. Then let Him teach you quietly how to perceive your guiltlessness, which is already there.
And we finish with guiltlessness. So look at that. Holy Spirit is teaching us how to quietly learn about our guiltlessness, not pushing it down our throats, not imposing on us or manipulating us, just quietly teaching us. You are guiltless. You are loved. You are God's holy, precious, innocent child. You are eternal spirit, free of all limits. It is God's will that you are happy and that you know the greatness of His love. This information is being reminded so that we can remember it within us and hold it in our core. All right, Terry, let's go ahead and finish with your Q&A, and then I have a little part to add about Christmas.
Okay. Well, before I get to that, I just want to remind us, in the words of Little Billy, who told his mom about diapers for the baby Jesus, we are all the perfect, innocent, all-powerful Son of God. Duh.
That's now right. Duh. Perfect.
All right. So my final Q&A today. Question. How do we free our minds from the illusions of this world we find ourselves in? How do we do that? The answer comes from a combination of workbook lesson 332 and 333. Truth never makes attack, it merely is, and by its presence is the mind recalled from fantasies, awaking to the real. Forgiveness bids this presence enter in and take its rightful place within the mind. Without forgiveness, is the mind in chains, believing in its own futility. Yet with forgiveness does the light shine through the dream of darkness, offering it hope and giving it the means to realize the freedom that is its inheritance. We would not bind the world again today. Fear holds it prisoner, and yet your love has given us the means to set it free. Father, we would release it now, for as we offer freedom, it is given us. Father, forgiveness is the light you chose to shine away all conflict and all doubt, and light the way for our return to you.
There's that word forgiveness again, and it comes up again and again. Thank you, Terry. We do free our minds through forgiveness. It's hard sometimes because we see other people doing something or saying something that seems so awful, and we feel like if we forgive them, we are condoning what we see or hear. What we want to realize is that we are not looking at the truth of who this person is. We are looking at our own false images in the place of the truth. If we would forgive the images we see or the words that we hear, if we will forgive this and offer it instead to Holy Spirit, we can be reminded of what is true. And as we remember the innocence within them, we will also remember it within ourselves. And that's the only way it will happen. It has to happen through our willingness to see innocence and light in others before we will ever know it within ourselves. We have to know it within ourselves to receive the blessings of our Creator, because otherwise we basically deny those blessings because we think we do not deserve them. You are the holy, innocent child of God, worthy of everything good. And if you all will just close your eyes for a moment, there is a couple of places in the Course in chapter 15, which talks about Christmas. I thought I would read just a few excerpts to you about that, because he has a very specific request when it comes to Christmas. We'll start out with chapter 15, section 3, paragraph 7, and then I'll go down and just read out some excerpts that jumped out to me. All right, nice deep calming breath, just receiving these beautiful words. In this season, Christmas, which celebrates the birth of holiness into this world, join with me who decided for holiness for you. He reaches from you to everyone, and beyond everyone to his Son's creations, but without leaving you. Far beyond your little world, but still in you, he extends forever. Yet he brings all his extensions to you as host to him. Learn that you must be worthy of the Prince of Peace, born in you in honor of him whose host you are. Holy child of God, when will you learn that only holiness can content you and give you peace? Remember that you learn not for yourself alone, no more than I did. It is because I learned for you that you can learn of me. I would but teach you what is yours, so that together we can replace the shabby littleness that binds the host of God to guilt and weakness with the glad awareness of the glory that is in him. Welcome me not into a manger, but into the altar to holiness, where holiness abides in perfect peace. My kingdom is not of this world, because it is in you, and you are of your Father. Let us join in honoring you, who must remain forever beyond littleness. Decide with me. Who has decided to abide with you? I will as my Father wills, knowing His will is constant and at peace forever with itself. You will be content with nothing but His will, except no less, remembering that everything I learned is yours. When you have learned to accept what you are, you will make no more gifts to offer to yourself, for you will know you are complete, in need of nothing, and unable to accept anything for yourself, but you will gladly give, having received. Fear not to recognize the whole idea of sacrifice as solely of your making. The sign of Christmas is a star, a light in darkness. See it not outside yourself, but shining in the heaven within, and accept it as the sign the time of Christ has come. He comes demanding nothing. No sacrifice of any kind, of anyone, is asked by Him. In His presence, the whole idea of sacrifice loses all meaning, for He is host to God. This Christmas, give the Holy Spirit everything that would hurt you. Let yourself be healed completely, that you may join with Him in healing, and let us celebrate our release together by releasing everyone with us. Leave nothing behind, for release is total, and when you have accepted it with me, you will give it with me, and all pain and sacrifice and littleness will disappear in our relationship, which is as innocent as our relationship with our Father and as powerful. Pain will be brought to us and disappear in our presence, and without pain, there can be no sacrifice. And without sacrifice, there love must be. Let no despair darken the joy of Christmas, for the time of Christ is meaningless apart from joy. Let us join in celebrating peace by demanding no sacrifice of anyone. For so you offer me the love I offer you. What can be more joyous than to perceive we are deprived of nothing? Such is the message of the time of Christ, which I give you, that you may give it and return it to the Father who gave it to me. For in the time of Christ, communication is restored, and He joins us in the celebration of His Son's creation. God offers thanks to the Holy Host who would receive Him, and lets Him enter and abide where He would be. And by your welcome, does He welcome you into Himself, for what is contained in you who welcome Him is returned to Him. This is the time in which a new year will soon be born from the time of Christ. I have perfect faith in you to do all that you would accomplish. Nothing will be lacking, and you will make complete and not destroy. Say then to your brother, I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. I know that you will be released unless I want to use you to imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release because I recognize that we will be released together. so will the year begin in joy and freedom. There is much to do, and we have been long delayed. Accept the holy instant as this year is born, and take your place so long left unfulfilled in the great awakening. Make this year different by making it all the same, and let your relationships be made holy for you. This is our will. Amen. Well, thank you everyone for joining us here tonight, and especially over the last several months. We will continue on in January, of course, and we wish you the happiest and the merriest of Christmases, and that you would forgive yourself for any judgments against you, and that you would forgive others. If there is someone that you have not wholly forgiven, and you feel that you have reasons that are justified, would you be willing to give those reasons over to the Holy Spirit and let them be undone and healed for you at your decision? We have the power of decision. We join with love today. We offer forgiveness, and we are willing to allow Holy Spirit to undo every error in our mind so that we can get back to the happiness that is the will of our Creator for us. So we thank you for joining us. God bless you all. Have the happiest of the end of this year and flow so beautifully into the next, as we are willing, Holy Spirit, to expect the most amazing future in front of us, filled with blessings. We receive those miracles in every way, every good thing that you have given us. We receive it with our whole heart. We are worthy because God created us as worthy. We release the past, and in this present moment, we are free. Your will be done. Amen.